Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Inside the Football Business with Neil Stratton and Justin Van Fulpen, where we talk about what's going on inside the game, outside the lines. And wanted to talk a lot about, some agency stuff, what's going on with the GMs, the underclassmen as far as declaring. So there's a lot of, different unique things going on. So, Neil, how's it going this morning?
Doing great, Justin. It's good. Obviously, it's a busy time of the year. The NFL season's kind of coming to a close, and the bowl season is just a few days away, and lots of exciting, cool things happening. There's plenty to talk about.
For sure. And first question, you got your Star Wars tickets?
The Star Wars mania has kind of passed me by, man. I haven't been bitten by the bug yet. I guess it's a slow reacting poison for me, so I haven't gotten into it. But I know.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. You're old enough to remember the original one, so
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm also old enough to still call the first one Star Wars. I mean, if you're really cool, you call it A New Hope, but I'm not cool at all, so I still call it Star Wars.
Anyway,
pretty sad.
That's something in far as in pop culture, what's going on there. But we'll get into really the football aspect of things. Really as far as, GMs, that's something that, we're hearing a lot of talk about in regards to guys that will, keep their job, get fired, as we get through here to the NFL, into the NFL season. And just kind of want to talk about some different guys that are kind of on the hot seat, kind of, there's rumors that around there, and kind of give a sense of, hey, where we think that they will stay on there. Kind of first starting out, Ray Farmer of the Cleveland Browns, a lot of speculation is that him and Mike Pettine will be out there in Cleveland. When you're looking at and what you're hearing in regards to, Cleveland, kind of where do you place Ray Farmer in regards to him being retained?
I think that there's a good chance that there could be a change there. And I tell you, Justin, it's a difficult situation. He really hasn't been on the job for that long. But I think, to some degree, he may be an innocent victim of the mess that the Cleveland ownership and front office has become in the last couple of years. I mean, they really went in a little different direction from a lot of teams 2 years ago, and they had a lot of veteran scouts who really have, experience in evaluation and I don't know if they've given him a chance to really get the ship turned around. And now, they haven't had a lot of success in the field, and the Manziel thing has been a little bit of a train wreck, although he's showing signs of maybe performing a bit better on the field. But they've got so many different issues, and they've made mistakes like letting a guy like Willie Snead, who sat on the practice squad all year last year, is going to be approaching 1,000 yards for the Saints as a wide receiver with one of their most glaring needs. They've made mistakes in the pro scouting end of things. They've made mistakes in the college scouting end of things. At the same time, I just don't know if they've given Ray enough time really to call him a failure for sure. So maybe it happens. I mean, I think maybe owner Jimmy Haslam is looking for a scapegoat, and he's certainly cleaned house before. I guess we'll see soon enough if he's planning on cleaning house again.
Well, would you, 50-50, 90-10, where do you place him, getting fired?
I think right now we're more at 60-40. I think that I'd kind of be surprised if there wasn't a change just based on what I've gotten back from some of the people that I've spoken to. And, again, that's, I guess, not entirely a surprise, but it is maybe disappointing. I just hate to see teams not give someone at least 3 years to really see if they've got what it takes, and if they're really someone who can do the job. It's a kind of a short learning curve for people, especially when you're new to the job and haven't been a GM before.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to really hit on those first round picks, and obviously,
right.
Johnny Manziel's been there, and then Justin Gilbert. I mean, people don't talk about him. They kind of really focus on Manziel, but I mean, he was a guy who was a top 10 pick, and you can't miss on that. And his been more off the field as well. It hasn't been as well publicized
right.
as as Manziel.
Right.
So I think, you know, when you're spending that type of picks and those type of dollars, those fall on those GM decisions there. And, you know, yeah, the Manziel, you can say, okay, Jimmy Haslin had a thing on there, but that Justin Gilbert, you know, pick was all of Ray Farmer's. I think Mike Pettin hasn't helped the situation in regards to, you know, there's been some bickering in regards to the coaching staff and the scouting staff, and you know, they're not all on the same page. So from what I'm hearing, is
definitely
I think they
not.
Both. The both are gone. You know, I'd put it more of a 80-20 that they you know, clean house there. I mean, 80% is they're all saying, hey, you know, they're going to go ahead and get a new GM, get a new head coach, and try to, you know, maybe even get a new quarterback, depending on where they pick. You know, just to say,
mm-hmm.
okay, hey, let's try to start all over and reboot this. So yes, you know,
the new quarterback. Head coach and GM, I mean, how many times has this happened in Cleveland in the last 5 years, 6 years, 10 years? Boy, that is a complete reboot, as you alluded to. And, wow, what an unfortunate occurrence for a team that has so much history in the league.
Mm. Yeah, and then, you know, a team that picked number two last year, a lot of speculation as far as Rustin Webster from the Tennessee Titans will
mm-hmm.
be released of his job, you know, as well. You know, kind of what I've heard is it's probably more of a 60-40, you know, standpoint that Webster loses his job there. You know, with the Titans, they just haven't won. Obviously, they fired their head coach already, you know, in the middle of the season. So they're kind of looking to say, okay, hey, you know, they do have a Marcus Mariota. There's been some speculation, hey, if Chip Kelly is, you know, fired in Philadelphia or decides to leave based on, you know, the different things that's gone on there, that maybe he comes in as the GM head coach there with the Titans and, you know, get him back there with Mariota. I don't know if that's a scenario that's really, you know, plays out and happens. But I do think, you know, with the losses and with the head coach already being fired, I think the Titans and will go ahead and release Rustin Webster of his job.
I think it's more of an 80-20 there. I think Webster is a near, well, getting close to near certainty to be let go. I think the feedback that I was getting about this time last year was that they were on thin ice and that he may not survive after the draft. Given the way that things have gone this year, and you alluded to the fact that they've already let the head coach go, and they've got a quarterback and they've got some problems in the O-line, and they've got a pretty strong D-line, but they've got a lot of other weaknesses, and their wide receiver core is still, you know, not as underperforming, and they've got a lot of other knocks. Their running back game has been pretty weak. They've probably got to make some changes, and they probably start with the GM. I think you're right. I think there's a good chance he's let go. So I would look for him probably to be on the street pretty soon, too.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and those are probably two people I think we're all kind of hearing on the same direction, that both Farmer and Webster are probably gone. You know, now we look at some kind of, hey, you know, mixed bags. I mean, Ryan Grigson of the Colts has been kind of rumored. I mean, there's obviously, we talked about him, you know, earlier in the season. You know, I still think that, you know, depending on if they can turn it around, I think he can say, okay, hey, you know, maybe they get a new head coach and Grigson saves his job. I'm thinking it's probably more of a 30-70, you know, that he gets fired, you know, more 70% that he's retained from what I'm, you know, hearing. And, you know, hey, with the Luck being injured, they still got a shot to win that division, as bad as that division is. So I think, you know, you're going to see Ryan Grigson, you know, back and leading, you know, the Colts for the 2016 NFL draft.
Well, I think that the Arcee family has a tough call here, because I think that there's a sense that Chuck Pagano, the ship has kind of sailed on him. And you're right. If he's able to get the team into the playoffs, which is still a possibility despite the fact they've been pretty dreadful throughout the year, then maybe Pagano saves his job. And I think if they keep Pagano, they keep Grigson. My feeling is that if Pagano's gone, they probably get rid of Grigson too. I really kind of lay the fault of this at Grigson's feet, because they've, I mean, despite the fact they have a franchise quarterback, they've gotten progressively worse over the last few years, and I think, and had to really sub in with the guys like, you know, the Frank Gores and what have you, the Andre Johnsons, to plug holes that they should have plugged in the draft and haven't been able to do. So I think for that reason, I don't know that I'd give Grigson as much of vote of confidence. I'd probably make him more of a 70-30 to go, especially if Pagano's gone. With the one big asterisk that they can point to is that Andrew Luck hasn't been healthy all year, and so they can kind of say, well, hey, look, if he's healthy, then we run away with this division. Everything goes well. But even when Luck was healthy, he wasn't having his greatest year, and I don't know if that's necessarily Pagano's fault, but there's a lot of parts that go into this recipe and a lot of things that could kind of sway the decision. I guess we'll have to wait and see where they want to go. I don't really have a sense of it, but I do. If I had to gamble, I'd say probably 70-30 that Gregson is gone along with Pagano after this season.
Yeah, it definitely can be, right there. I think depends on these last, three games and what the Colts, if they make the playoffs and kind of what happens
right
there.
Right.
A couple other guys. One name that's popped up and they actually won on Monday night is Jerry Reese, the GM with the New York Giants. Just regards to, hey, they had that 3-game losing streak. They obviously came and were able to beat the Miami Dolphins, but there's some rumblings that Reese might, depending on what happens here the last 3 games, if they make the playoffs or not. Jerry Reese could be looking for another opportunity. There, I think Jerry Reese has done a good job there as a head coach, as a GM. They've obviously won 2 Super Bowls there. I don't know how you go ahead and you get rid of a guy like that when, they had some injuries and had some issues. Obviously, JPP, with the off the field injury, with the firework thing. I think Jerry Reese has done a really good job. I know there's some rumblings there, but I do think he'll be back. And I bet Tom Coughlin's, he'll be back. He either can come back on his own, or if he's gone, I think they'll let him, retire, there if he doesn't want to coach anymore. But I think you'll see Jerry Reese and Tom Coughlin be back, next year as well.
Well, I think I'd put it at 50-50, Justin. This is kind of interesting to me. What team has the fewest number of former draft picks in the league still active? It's the Giants. They've only got 30 players. The 49ers on the other end of the spectrum, they lead the league with 59. So I guess that's a pretty good indicator based on the research that I've done over the last couple of years that they're not producing on draft day the way they need to. And you start to see that on the field again, despite the fact they've got, I guess you'd call it an elite quarterback in Eli Manning. I mean, he's won 2 Super Bowls after all. They're really struggling to have the depth, they're not being able to plug in the way that they were able to the last few years. And you're right about JPP. That injury has certainly had an impact on them, and they've had a number of other issues. But they're struggling in the running game, and they've got question marks on defense. Obviously, I think they've got the worst defense in the league right now statistically. So that has an impact after a while. And I don't think Tom Coughlin's lost anything off his fastball. I just don't feel like he's got the reinforcements to plug in anymore. So I don't know. I mean, we could see a change there. I'm still not certain there's going to be a change, but based on the results on draft day, at least, I think it could definitely be a possibility. Well, time will tell. It's, again, these last 3 games could really do a lot to determine what happens in a pretty weak division that they're in right now.
Yeah, we'll definitely see what transpires there. I think just with the JPP thing, it was the franchise tag, it was a ton of money, and they were kind of stuck in limbo there, So we'll definitely see what happens with Jerry Reese there. Another team who had was starting hot and it kind of fell. Obviously, Todd Gurley's been a great find for the Rams, and that's Les Snead. I mean, they've obviously made the great trade to get the 3 first-round picks, from the Redskins and the Robert Griffin III, trade there. And they've had a lot of first-round talents, come in there. But they just haven't produced. Him and Jeff Fisher, haven't got it done. Obviously, they won this week against the Lions. And Todd Gurley's been a great, find for him coming off that knee injury with the 10th pick this year. But, I wonder with the potential move to L.A., everybody says Jeff Fisher's, safe there with the Rams. Les Snead, is he safe? I mean, what do you, I think he is. I think, he's, but I think, hey, it wouldn't be a shock if, Black Monday came and Les Snead was fired, with the Rams, if you saw that ticker down there. Do I think it's probably a 20% chance that he gets fired? Yeah, I think he's probably going to be retained, but I think, if there's a guy that you wouldn't be shocked if the Rams did go ahead and fired Les Snead.
Yeah, I don't know. That's another tough one. You know, the I wouldn't say that the Bradford trade has been a win for either team, you know, quarterback-wise. Nick Foles certainly hasn't produced the way they had hoped he would. You're right. They obviously picked up a great running back in the draft, but they've only got 44 players active in the league. I hate to keep going back to that number, but it does seem to be a pretty good indicator of where teams are. They're kind of in the bottom third there. Haven't drafted, you know, particularly well over the last few years. And again, I think, like you, I think that could be Jeff Fisher could be the fall guy for that. I think it's probably around where you said probably 20-30% that he gets dumped, you know, 70-80% that he stays. But I think that this next year is going to be very telling for him. And I guess, again, the question the ownership has to ask itself is, do you want to let him hire the next head coach? And that's going to be very telling on what they decide to do. So, you know, if they can string together some victories over the next three games, then maybe he sticks around, and maybe even Jeff Fisher sticks around too. But it's still a pretty volatile situation, and one where a change could be coming.
Yeah, and finally, you know, kind of the last guy that I kind of was saying, hey, who could go, who could add, and that's your team. I know you're a fan of the Saints and Mickey Loomis.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, there's obviously, you know, they fired Rob Ryan, their defensive coordinator. The defense has been awful the last couple of years. Drew Brees is kind of in the later stages of his career. Sean Payton, there's rumors maybe he goes to Miami. You know, does Mickey Loomis stay? Yeah, he's done a decent job, but it, you know, again, I think it's the same thing with like Les Snead. Is if you saw that crawl on ESPN or NFL Network that Mickey Loomis has been relieved of his, you know, GM duties, no one would be shocked based on the last couple of years in the Saints has kind of underachieved there.
Yeah, that's a tough one to call. Yeah, I mean, to some degree, it's hard to blame Loomis because he's a GM of two franchises in separate sports, and he's had a lot on his plate. And meanwhile, he's kind of been trying to patch holes with the Saints while they have Drew and still kind of in the prime of his career, and they've been trying to sustain and give him the tools that he's needed. And meanwhile, they just haven't done anything really from the second or third round down. I mean, they've consistently picked players that didn't hang around long. I mean, their second rounder from the 2014 draft made it one season before they dumped him. And this has kind of been the rule rather than the exception. And I know they got rid of their director of college scouting, Rick Rearfish, last year. But this year, maybe the changes rise a little higher. I mean, I think that if Payton goes, I don't know. I guess we'll have to see what the decision looks like and those kinds of things. I just don't know really if the ownership is strong enough right now to make that change, because so many things are in limbo with Tom Benson and the family and the lawsuit and all these kinds of things. Loomis may benefit from that, the fact that there isn't anyone in there really in charge that can come in and make decisive changes. Another thing about it is they're really, you know, the Saints are a team that's facing a lot of challenges, and I don't know how appealing the team would be right now, especially with, you know, the rumors that Peyton may be leaving. You know, Drew Brees, I think, still has two or three good years in him, but he's only got 1 year left on his contract after this year. What do you do there? There's so many weaknesses on defense. They've got a long way to go on replugging those holes. They've got trouble in the offensive line. I mean, if Peyton's gone, a new GM would really kind of have to start at the bottom, but with a really negative salary cap structure. I mean, he'd really have his hands tied, and he'd have to have a lot of patience from the ownership. And so I think there may be a temptation to let Loomis kind of try to work his way out of this, or at least maybe try to find a light at the end of the tunnel before they make that change. I will say this. I think Jeff Ireland's did a really good job in his first year as a GM and kind of helping out with the draft. I'm really, I think you have to be pleased with what the Saints did on draft day 2015. And if they can string another draft together next year that kind of continues to build in that way, then if Loomis sticks around and they have a good draft next year, I could see maybe Ireland getting a second whack at being a general manager, given that he's kind of, I don't know, kind of turned around, started to turn things around talent-wise, started to with the Saints. So I don't know. We'll see. There's if Loomis were let go, it wouldn't completely surprise me, but I think because of the way the dominoes are lining up, he may get a stay of execution for at least one more year. I'd say he's, I'm going to say 40% that he goes, 60% that he stays right now.
Gotcha. And yeah, Jeff Ireland, obviously the former GM of the Miami Dolphins, is there. So yeah, I mean, it's great things to kind of look at as we, you know, wrap down here to the last 3 weeks of the NFL season. And then obviously we know that Black Monday comes. It's already come for, you know, head coach and, you know, some GMs, coordinators. I mean, we've already seen a lot of movement already during the NFL season, and we'll definitely see more mm-hmm. here in 3 weeks when the regular season's over there. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of, you know, as like you said, you know, we're wrapping up this NFL season, the college football season's done, we're bowl season. What's going on with the, you know, kind of your clients there, you know, your agent clients and different things like that, you know, that you're helping and, you know, and assisting, you know, those people with as they're wrapping things up here and trying to get guys signed.
Mm-hmm. Well, you alluded to it, and you're right in the middle of it too, Justin. There's so much stuff going on right now where different players are making agent decisions. There's a lot of players that are kind of weighing coming out from the draft, and you know, obviously a lot of All-Star games that are kind of plugging in their last cracks. Most of the it's interesting. Most of the All-Star games are kind of wrapping things up, and this is incredibly early for that. I mean, we're still a month away, and the Senior Bowl and Shrine Game have about 70% of their rosters done or thereabouts. They've got their quarterbacks pretty much in place. The running back situation are still a little open, but the wide receivers are almost completely done too. Really, the NFLPA and the College Gridiron Showcase are the two games that are still kind of trying to wrap things up and tie up some loose ends, but there's less, I guess, mobility in these games, a lot less flexibility than normally there would be this time of year. And that's, I don't know, kind of a new development and maybe the start of a new trend. I guess time will tell, but it is interesting to watch and to see and to kind of see where all this is going to go.
Yeah, you know, as far as underclassmen guys, that I'm kind of was shocked that you're hearing that they're coming back to school, and that's Jake Butts, the tight end from Michigan, Will Fuller,
right,
the wide receiver from Notre Dame, and Jordan Lewis, the cornerback from Michigan. So, you know, but for the most part, we're seeing all the guys who, you know, we thought, you know, would declare. You know, I don't think there's any really shocking standpoint of anybody that's come out and said, oh, you know, I'm coming out for the NFL draft. We just heard Kendall Fuller, the cornerback from Virginia Tech, you know, said he's coming out. You know, mm-hmm. you know, anybody that kind of have plugged up your radar that you're like, oh, I didn't think that that guy would declare or come back. Anybody that you would, you know, kind of say, hey, that's kind of a shock or kind of a scratch in the head.
As far as coming out or as far as staying?
Either one.
Yeah, well, I think there are a couple players that probably be better off staying, but that are probably going to go. I mean, I think Scooby Wright, the linebacker from Arizona, has kind of made his decision. He's going to come out, given the fact that he's been injured this year and given the fact that he's a little undersized. I kind of have to wonder if he's making the right move. You know, we've heard that DeMarcus Robinson, the wide receiver from Florida, is probably coming out too. Really kind of have pedestrian numbers this year. May have a bit of an attitude wrap, may not get flying colors from his coaches at Florida if he does decide to come out, and that you know, could have an impact on him. You know, I'm hearing that potentially Roger Lewis from Bowling Green is a wide receiver who could really make a lot of noise. He's put his name in with the draft advisory committee, and it'll be interesting to see what he does. There are a number of other players out there. You know, it's still kind of a developing situation, and I think it'll be fun to watch as we go forward. But right now, there's still a lot of dominoes could fall, and a lot of dominoes that may not. You know, Ohio State could lose a lot of players. Eli Apple's one, the cornerback. They've got a linebacker who could go. I know Baylor's got a cornerback who's looking at coming out. We kind of chronicled that in the pages of ITL. So I don't know. There's just a lot of things in flux right now, and you know, some of the names that you've referred to that have decided they're going to stay have been surprising as well. I don't know. It's, to me, this is kind of what makes it fun, just kind of watching these players that kind of determine what their future is going to be. And the scouts are kind of on the edge of their seats as well, I think, right now.
Yeah, you know, we've got about 5 minutes, but let's delve into that Scooby Wright thing. You know, do you think that it was just an overhype thing, you know, last year and the play that he made? I know that, you know, there was an article early in the season where he was meeting with Drew Rosenhaus, and, you know, I mean, you know, that wasn't anything that was a secret. It was right there in the newspaper. And do you think that, you know, people had hyped him up too much, had the injury, and then he just said, skip it, I'm, you know, I don't have anything else left to prove because of my sophomore year, and decided to come out, you know, despite the what the NFL says, hey, he's a little bit undersized, what position do we play at him? Do you think some guys get that, hey, it's they don't really listen to that advice, they just go off the hype standpoint?
Well, I think you nailed it, Justin. I mean, he's not going to get a lot bigger, and he's not going to get, you know, he's not going to be able to change who he is physically, you know, in a dramatic way. And so rather than continue to risk injury and not get paid for it, I think he's almost taking a running back's approach to things. I've only got so many snaps in my body, and so I might as well make them on the next level rather than the college level. Obviously, he's a guy who made a lot of noise and kind of came out of nowhere 2 years ago, and this year was looking to build on that and capitalize, and hasn't been able to do that due to the injury. But, I think he feels like he's kind of maybe in a box, so to speak. I mean, there's only so much more he can do to really improve who he is and where he goes and what he does. And so he might as well just kind of roll the dice and, you know, get healthy and find a team that falls in love with him. I hope he goes third round or, you know, who knows, maybe even second round if things really break his way. But ultimately, there's not a whole lot more. I mean, on the field production standpoint, he had an extraordinary season last year. And I guess he's hoping that most teams will go off of that film and they'll kind of, you know, bite the bullet and hope that he doesn't get hurt again and, you know, and that he has maybe a Zach Thomas kind of career. I think that's probably his ceiling. And if he has a Zach Thomas kind of career, then that's an extraordinarily successful one. I guess to some degree it's hard to question him coming out, just given the fact where he is physically. At the same time, we'll have to hope that he's all the way back from his injury so that he can perform in the combine and really put his best foot forward, so to speak.
Yeah. And, hey, you talked to a ton of people. We got a couple minutes left, here to, you know, today. And, you know, what are you hearing out there? What's interesting? What's breaking? What's shocking? Anything that you want to bring to our listeners, you know, that, you know, far as that listening inside the football business?
Well, I think there's one player that I've been working with a bit. We've been working with his family this year. We're working with about a dozen players this year. And one of them is really interesting is a player named Cedric Lang, and maybe a guy to watch for. He'll be playing in the College Career Showcase, and I'll be talking about him a little bit more in my blog later this week. But Cedric's a guy that played basketball for 4 years at UTEP. He's, you know, 6'9 and around 280, 290 pounds. And kind of an interesting guy that can maybe play tackle. He's got long arms, great feet, or maybe play kind of as a massive tight end kind of player. You know, he's just got the kind of size and athleticism that you can't teach. And although he's extremely raw, he didn't even come to the football team until the fall practice. He didn't even start in the spring. He could be the Patriots starting to use kind of a hybrid tight end, offensive tackle position that you're seeing, perhaps, you know, for example, with a player named Mike Williams out of Alabama, who, you know, they're sending him on routes and they're also using him as a blocker. And it's kind of a new flex position and something you're starting to see kind of as a slash. And Cedric Lang could be the next guy to really be that player. And if he has a good College Career on Showcase, I could see him moving up into maybe a Shrine Game. Who knows, maybe even a Senior Bowl. He's got that kind of athleticism and size you can't teach. And if he could really kind of get it all moving in the right direction, he could be an exciting talent and an exciting player. So someone to watch for.
Yeah, that's some interesting stuff there. We'll definitely check him out at the College Gridiron Showcase that is in Dallas, and January 10th through the 13th. And obviously Neil's a part of that and helping, you know, get that roster set. So, great stuff. As everybody will continue to read, you know, ITL and see what you know, new news you got, you know, breaking there. It's always great to see, you know, every day, the signings, what agents are signing who. So definitely look forward to another great week there as we kind of head to the holidays and kind of the signing period and as the bowl games kick off this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, I can hardly wait for bowl season to start. I think most football fans feel about the same way.
Well, Neil, you have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week, man.
Sounds great. Have a Merry Christmas, Justin.